This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! Every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Well, Rule 76 is hours and hours from now.
Yep.
It is now the start of the show, July the 6th, 2022. A lot of Mets, very disappointing loss despite Max Scherzer looking, he was terrific last night. Yankees, that's, you know, good thing they're so far ahead of the game because that's a bad loss against Pittsburgh. So tough night in New York baseball. Kevin Durant, what will happen there? We have a mystery game, which I asked you guys, do you want it to be sports? Do you want it to be non-sports? Or do you want a conglomeration of the two? And you all agreed a conglomeration of the two. So at 6:45, you'll get your mystery game. But before we do any of it, we say good morning to one Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. Nice to see you this... Well, I mean, this used to be the Stump Rothenberg Wednesday, but now we have... a fancy new game.
Like that kind of party.
Yeah, today is MGW.
MGW.
MGW, Mystery Game Wednesday.
Yeah, and RJ seems thrilled about it. He seems like he's really excited for it.
No, I don't think he believes I can pull off a decent mystery game. He's like, can you give me a little insight so it's not dead air when we start the game?
Yeah,
I will.
I'm excited for it.
I don't think you are.
I was up extra early this morning.
For what reason?
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to rock and roll. Let's go.
For what reason?
I couldn't wait for this game. I was like, oh, Cass, I'm going to get up extra early, get prepared for today's game.
Oh, God. Don't lie to me.
I'm not lying to you. I was up extra early.
You were not up extra early. What was that, yesterday? You woke up yesterday? Extra early.
I did 2:11 I woke up this morning.
2:11.
A couple minutes early. I jumped right out of bed. Ready.
What have you been doing since 2:11 today?
A lot.
I mean, really, you've been up for 3 hours, and it's now 5 o'clock in the morning. What the hell have you been doing for
There's
3 hours?
There's been a lot. I've accomplished a lot already.
What have you accomplished today so far?
I worked out.
Oh, you worked out? What kind of a workout? What did the workout entail today?
I did some cardio this morning.
Hard bodies the other night.
Were there dips?
No dips.
No dips?
No dips today. No, it's good cardio. I was on the machine, the elliptical, the arc machine. Did that.
How long you do that for? 40 minutes?
Yep.
Exactly 40?
Yep. Around 40, yep.
Look at that.
Yeah, look at you, right? This is why we're the
best. Oh, I got pythons. And then you did what, curls?
No curls. So I'm going to save that stuff. Then I prepared for the show. Took a nice shower.
Nice shower.
And then I turned the TV on. Boom.
Yep.
Going over the Mets, going over the Yankees.
Do you ever take not a nice shower?
No, I love the shower.
Right, exactly. So you don't need to tell us it was a nice shower. You took a shower.
But in the morning, when it's this early.
But it's implied, if they're all nice, then you don't have to tell us every day it was a nice shower, just you took a shower.
Yeah, but we don't ever talk about my shower, so I was just letting you know this was a nice shower.
This is a nice, okay. So from now on, when we discuss your showers, can we just say you took a shower, knowing, understanding, full force, that these are nice to begin with?
Yeah, everyone will assume it's a great shower. Yes.
Okay,
so shower, then I...
You a hot shower guy or cool-ish shower guy?
No, it was a nice hot shower.
Nice hot shower.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Let it run on the back, the neck, yeah, oh, yeah. Loosened right.
Let yourself go.
Really let it go.
See, but now here's what I don't understand. You're all drenched from the elliptical.
Yes.
And then you want to take a hot shower?
Because I don't really want to take a cold shower. I did the thought of taking a cold shower. Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm all set. We had to do that.
All
with,
right,
so, with
so
the
you
Islanders.
Take a nice shower.
Nice shower.
And then you start watching what, Daniel Vogelback highlights?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, what a specimen he is.
That's a man-sized man is
that's
what that is.
That's an athlete. That's an athlete right there.
Woo.
Yeah,
how much do you think that guy weighs?
A lot.
You think he's 300?
Yes.
You You think a baseball player that tries to run the bases weighs over 300 pounds?
Why? Does he try to run the base? I mean, does he run the bases?
I think that's the goal, right? If he hits the ball to the gap, the goal is to scurry around the bases.
Yeah, I don't think that's I would say it's probably not his goal to scurry around the bases.
He's a big man.
They say he's 250, but there's no way.
Please.
No, he's 6 feet.
Then I'm 175.
Yeah, 6 feet, 250. I'm rolling around 6 feet. I'm 200 and probably, I don't know, 10 pounds, 12 pounds. There's no way he's 250.
No way. RJ just says he's listed in the guide at 6 feet, 270.
Okay, that's more like it.
But you know what? There's no way he's 270.
No. There's no chance he's 270.
He is a mountain of a man.
He is a humongous human being, yeah.
And if he catches up with the baseball, look out.
It's not well put together. Let's call it what it is.
No.
No.
No, it's
not. Like when you see Starling Marte, Judge, Stanton, they're well put together athletes. Danny Vogelbach, eh.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Not so much. I was fat at one point.
I wanted to ask you this question, though, because you started the show with it.
Yeah.
You're talking about the Yankees, and I think part of you is just trolling Yankees fans, which I respect.
No, I wasn't.
Worst loss, though.
Worst loss.
All in. Worst loss. Them losing to the Pirates or us losing to the Reds?
Well, am I factoring in the importance of the game?
Everything.
Than the Mets.
Of course it is.
It's not even close.
It's an awful loss. It's terrible.
Not even close. The Yankees have done so much they can afford laying an egg, right? The Mets lead is now 2.5 again.
A 2.5.
So no,
yeah.
The question of worst loss is not. Now, if you said take records out of it, losing to Pittsburgh like that or losing to Cincinnati like that, what's worse? I mean, Cincinnati didn't even play their starting guys. Like their starting shortstop doesn't play. Farmer, Joey Votto got the night off. You have some guy coming off the IL that, I mean, has had, what, 3 or 4 starts in his major league career. You couldn't score a run last night if you're the Mets?
Not one. No.
And Scherzer was excellent last night.
See, but that's, and therein lies the issue, is that he's back. He looked awesome. Like, I didn't expect that. You asked me yesterday. I didn't expect it to look that good. He looked great. And then, you know, on top of that, I mean, this is a guy who hasn't started a game since May 18th.
Right. And he looked phenomenal. He's been out for, what, 6+ weeks?
Yeah, and he steps right back in, and he's dominant.
What did he give you, 6 shutout innings last night?
6 shutout, 11 Ks, 57 of his 79 pitches were strikes.
Right. And you lose the game.
Yeah, well, you couldn't score a run.
You're not going to win a lot of games when you don't score, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, exactly right. I mean, that's the thing with this Mets team right now. When he got hurt, right, and it was RJ actually had some really good numbers in his little rundown, the premature look ahead.
His little rundown? Like, why do you have to do that?
It's just a force of habit now. You haven't been doing it.
No, it's a direct shot right across the jaw at RJ.
Well, today's was nice. Let's be honest. Today's had some nice nuggets. There was a lot of in-depth. He did some research yesterday.
The one on Sunday was, I mean, there was a lot of meat on that bone.
Well, yeah, he's got attachments. I mean, you can click on things to go to, like, websites. It's very, it's intense.
It is. It's a lot.
Yeah, but you ask the guy to fix a water heater, and there's no chance. Can't do it. It's too big for him.
Of course. First of all, stop with the too big for, would you, please?
It's too. You heard him. He was overwhelmed by it.
If you had to cuddle, marry, trash, and then double trash, any of the four of us to fix a water heater, no one gets the marry. None of us.
Of course, I get the marry. I'm the only one of us that owns a tool belt.
So you think you own a tool belt, and now you can fix a water heater?
And I have a toolbox. Yes.
There is no chance that I would even let you look at his water heater.
I'm telling you right now, you have me over in Brooklyn, I'll have your water piping hot. Done.
I would probably take Ray first.
Ray would look at it and it would be like Chinese to him. He would have no idea what it was.
No, see, this shows how clueless you are. I've actually fixed a water heater before.
Look at that.
Stop it.
And then I'd probably take Rick. And then me.
What do you mean, probably take Rick?
And then
your options. You who can't do it, or Dave.
Dave would move out and just buy a new house.
Just take a wrench and just start hitting the water heater. That would be my way of attempting to fix the water heater.
Make sure it's still connected while you do that. See what
Dave
happens.
Would have one thing in his tool belt. It would be a cell phone, which he would pick up and call somebody to come put in the water heater.
Now, I will tell you this.
Radio host lights himself on fire.
Yes. By hitting the water heater over and over and over. If you walked me into your home and said, what is this? I think there's less than a 50% chance I would know it was even a water heater. Nonetheless, fix the damn thing.
It's like showing Rosenberg a naked woman. What is this?
Yeah. We'll see naked ladies.
I don't know what to do with this. I have no idea. I don't know.
Does this go here? I'm not really sure.
No, I would take Santiago number one. I have the most confidence in Raymond.
You think Raymond goes in there and fixes the water heater?
I think he has the potential where he's seen it. I think he's maybe fixed one before.
Now, how about RJ, you need a new water heater, right?
That's right.
How about a full installation? Same rankings?
Who's installing a full water heater by themselves? Who's doing that?
And this isn't meant to be mean, but in all seriousness, rather than spend all this money on the water heater, why not take a pot of water, put it on the stove, heat it up, and then that's plenty of water for you and Ange to take a tub with? No?
You're a mean human being.
I'm trying to be practical.
You really are. You're not a nasty guy.
You're not even being subtle anymore is the thing.
I mean, usually you're subtle repulsive. With these. First of all, who uses the phrase to take a tub with?
A bath.
I mean, to take a tub. People don't take baths.
Maybe he wants to take a tubby.
No, yeah, nobody takes a bath. You know how gross a bath is?
I'm with you. Very anti-bath.
I mean, bath is like...
It could be an erotic bath, maybe.
I don't even know what to say about you anymore.
It's a suggestion. I'm trying to save the guy money. It'll be nasty with me.
This is what happens when he's been up since yesterday.
I'm a problem solver.
This is what happens on the elliptical.
Yeah,
he should have called him right over.
He probably has a list of things to say in situations to all of us.
If you want to help, why don't you just cover the cost for a new heater for him? That way he doesn't have to worry about it.
That would be.
Oh, why am I always the one that's got to cover?
You know why? Because I'm perusing the internet on July 1st. And I see Rick DiPietro.
That's fake news. Don't even get me started. I was saving that for Friday. That's such fake news.
It's not true?
No, it's not true.
Rick caught all those Bobby Bonilla strays on the 1st.
Because that's what they're trying to do now. They're trying to make this a thing. It's not a thing. I don't get paid on July 1st.
You know whose fault this is.
I don't care whose it is. They're all hacks.
It's Carlin's fault.
Well, he's a hack. They're all hacks.
So July 1st is not. Is there a day where you increase monetarily?
No.
No.
I get paid the same as I would always get paid. And plus, I get escrowed the same.
Did you know DiPietro is Italian for Bonilla?
Yeah, I don't just get a check. Like, the clearinghouse doesn't come to my house on July 1st with this big check and present me with a check.
You're ruining all my hopes and dreams. So you're not receiving this?
No.
I saw on the internet.
You don't even understand how many text messages I got. Can I borrow money? Congratulations. I was like, what is everyone talking about?
Yeah, all around the internet. TSN Canada had it.
Hacks.
It said you received $1.5 million on July 1st. Bobby Bonilla, like $1.19 million.
No, hacks. Not true.
Not true.
Not true.
Oh.
It is not true. It is 1,000,000,000% false.
And I thought everything you read on the internet is completely true.
Yes. This is where you get in trouble.
Oh, man.
I know. Not that I'm opposed to helping RJ with the water heater, but I mean.
See, Dave, if you've been up since 1 a.m., you'd know these things.
You would know these things. You do.
So
research.
You knew it was not true.
I'm not going to comment on what
RJ knows everything. What do you think? He just all of a sudden wakes up and just puts this thing just magically gets put together?
No, I think RJ does a lot of work for this thing.
Lots of work.
I would agree.
And I'm hopeful you put a lot of work into this mystery game. Yeah, you don't know what I know.
The mystery game?
Yeah.
This is going to be such a low-budget mystery game.
You know, forget it. You know, you put something new together and I would be right by your side. Like Thelma and Louise. You know, good for you. You've brought something new to the table.
I put a new open together every single Thursday.
And most times I'm like, boy, that was a terrific job by you.
Oh, you're critical. You're very critical.
I don't need you to be nasty. And now you have me nervous about the MGW, Mystery Game Wednesday.
Well,
I don't know if I want to do it anymore.
God forbid you lose like your page, like your piece of paper goes missing. Because last time that happened, you just start randomly.
Sam Houston State hammers Letourneau.
Here it is.
Lawarno or Lashorno. You know what? We'll just do Steph Rothenberg then.
It's fun. It gets funnier every time I hear
it. It's fun. You know, we'll just go back to old hat. Stump Rothenberg, bland, boring. Where did Steve Smith go to college? Fine. The basketball player,
Michigan State.
I'm going to be doing
afternoon drive in Tel Aviv next week.
That's what we'll do. We'll just recycle and regurgitate the same boring act that we do.
He can't
you guys
help himself.
Will be pigs in you know what.
He can't help himself. He's like the basketball player. He's going to go basketball, football, just to show
up.
Well,
the basketball player, Michigan State, obviously. Football player, USC. Right? Yes. Huh. Aminu Muhammad, baby. Aminu Muhammad into the NBA draft. No longer at Georgetown. You want to hear from Max Scherzer?
I think he deserves it.
You want to hear from Buck Showalter?
Let's go Max.
All right. Well, we'll do that in a moment, because now you've walked us right up to the line where we need to
oh,
break.
Oh, God.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Carlos Santana, not the baseball player, the musician, he collapsed on stage the other day during a show?
Yeah, he had to be treated on stage by EMS. They called it a serious medical emergency, but he's going to be okay, they say, so.
Well, thank goodness for that. And then you, because you are so timely, you play Santana coming back from break.
Well, who doesn't love Santana?
Everyone loves Santana.
Even you love Santana.
What does that mean, even me?
You only like one type of music. So
Like I'm a mongrel. Like, it's like this guy couldn't like anything.
You act up. You criticize his music almost every day.
So, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. Bring me
it
the
goes on and on and on and on!
Bring mediocrity to the table, and I don't care anymore. Okay? Does that work?
I think I'm going to play you stuff from my Dominican playlist as the show progresses.
All of a sudden, he's the Herb Brooks of radio.
Seriously.
Really? I mean, just whatever. Bring whatever. We'll go through the motions. No, I like to put on a good show, and some of the music he plays is just not great, and I call him out on it.
Again.
This is what he does.
Going show that you were going to.
I'm going to play TV themes all day.
TV
do that too.
I would love TV themes all day.
We've done that already.
I don't know if you can handle it though. You don't look nearly as recharged as you did yesterday.
Well, no, because day two is never as
but,
good.
But you all know right. what that is, Rick? That jumps the batteries. Then he starts shouting.
Yeah, but you can barely even see his eyes. Like he's.
I can't see my eyes. I have eyes.
Thank you for being a friend.
Barely.
Oh, stop it.
Yesterday, his eyes were wide open.
All right, I want to hear from Scherzer. Enough of you and your music and your mystery game and all that stuff. Can we get into sports? This is what Gordon is so dynamic with, just breaking down the sports. Our sports! Sports! And I know you miss Gordon, so let's get into it. Here is Max Scherzer. How did you feel after the start?
Felt great. No issues whatsoever today. Felt strong all the way through. Never tightened up on me, so that's a good thing.
All right, so good news there. What were you most pleased with after your start?
That I was able to locate the fastball then, but most importantly, really felt like I had a really good slider tonight. My rehab starts, slider really wasn't breaking the right way. And over this turn, you know, my bullpen really, I thought I found something on my slider. You know, I knew I was going to need it against this team and was able to execute that and make that adjustment. And I felt like that pitch really helped me navigate their lineup tonight.
He was sensational. I mean, the way he was pitching last night, it felt like he could have stayed in for 15 innings and they wouldn't have scored.
And now, he wanted to.
You think he wanted to stay in for more?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he said, Buck after the game said he wanted to pitch the seventh. And he's like, yeah, I can tell you he's not happy with me right now. That's just who that guy is.
Yeah, he's a warrior.
Yeah, he's a bulldog. That's why you brought him in here. But, I mean, you wasted a great start against the team that you should beat.
You should beat them 8 out of 10 games.
Yes. Yes. You have to take advantage of a start like that. I know, listen, it's just in the grand scheme of things, it's nice to have him back, and hopefully he's healthy for the duration of the season.
Right.
But, I mean, right now, Mets lineup with runners in scoring position hasn't been good. They haven't been getting the job done. DH has been a black hole. Catching position has been a problem. Like, I asked you yesterday,
it's a real problem. I mean, like Nito and McCann offensively are.
How long can you wait?
Well, I think you had a longer leash. You know, when it was 5.5 or 6.5, it's down to 2.5 yet again.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, what today's July 6th, so we're what, the 13th? So we're 4 weeks away from the trade deadline.
Yeah, but I mean, and here's the thing though. I almost get the feeling that Steve Cohen and Billy Epler kind of feel the same way that I feel right now in the moment. Is as great as it would be to just make moves now because you're hell-bent on winning the NL East, the reality, I think, for them is they're going to make moves. They're not going to start getting crazy now. And as long as they have DeGrom and Scherzer back, they like their chances.
I like their chances, too. And I think that's probably the right way. But I'll tell you what, I can't go into big postseason games and have relievers that I don't trust. And
that's the other thing, too.
And how many guys do you really trust right now?
Nobody.
You trust Diaz, right?
That's it.
And that's it. And that's a problem.
Well, and the other problem, too, is now you got to figure out what you're doing with Lugo, because he can't pitch back-to-back days. It's clear.
That's pretty obvious, because he was atrocious last night.
He had nothing yesterday. Nothing. And you couldn't use Ottavino. He was trying to stay away from Drew Smith. So it was...
What's with that? Why couldn't Ottavino pitch, by the way?
I don't know. He wouldn't tell you. I mean, Joely came and pitched well. But yeah, I mean, that's a problem right now. It's a huge problem. Because you could tell Lugo had nothing. And that's probably a ball. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, Marte should have probably caught that ball, yep.
Yeah, he pulled up a little bit. Like, he thought he was closer to the wall than he really was. But still. I mean, he couldn't throw a strike. No. Lugo.
No, he was dreadful last night. I mean, and the thing is, you want to kill him, fine. You need to score runs against Lodolo.
Lodolo's got good stuff, though.
I get it, but the guy's making his first start in months, and his pitch count was they weren't going to really push him above 80, and he threw like 25 in the first inning. I mean, the fact that you couldn't score, Ross Detweiler, I mean, these guys are shutting you down?
No, it's a problem right now. I mean, it's a problem. They were, I mean, like the Mets at one point, I mean, were the best in baseball with runners in scoring position average-wise. And recently they have not been at all. They've struggled. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, I mean, if Pete's not carrying you, right? I mean, it's...
And Pete was frustrated last night.
Well, you can tell, too, because he doesn't... I mean, he's really the only one in the lineup, power-wise, that scares you in that lineup.
Yeah.
Like, he needs some protection. And you got a couple, I mean, you just got a couple huge gaping holes in your lineup right now.
Catcher's a major problem. And I know Escobar has moments where he hits the ball, but he's not had a great season.
No, he's not had a great season. DH has been a problem. And then, I mean, your catcher's been a problem. And Lindor's kind of been streaky. I know the RBIs are there, but again,
isn't he so streaky? Like, there's games where he's just so good and games where he's just... I mean, he was bad last night.
Listen, I love the guy. He plays every day. I said that to my buddy on Sunday. We were watching the game. I'm like, as much as I criticize him sometimes, it's not because I don't like him. I criticize him because I know how good he is.
Yeah, you expect and want a little bit more from him.
Like, when we brought him in here, he was brought in here to be one of the best players. Like, he was to carry the team. Like, as good as Pete was, you brought him in because he was supposed to be the guy. Like, not like, oh, yeah, he's a really good shortstop. No, he's supposed to be up there as one of the best players in the league. And I think, I was going through his stuff yesterday. Like, in June, he hit .211 in June. That's not acceptable.
No, it's not. And he has a ton of RBIs.
Yeah, he's got a ton of RBIs, but still, I mean, there's... And he plays every day. Listen, I want to see him be great. And it's not easy to play here. I understand that, especially when you sign a big ticket like he signed. But if this team's going to get where they need to get, he's going to be at the top of the list of guys that need to produce on a regular basis. He's that important.
Yeah. Who would you say is the most important member, everyday player on the Mets? Lindor or Alonso?
I would probably say...
I would say Lindor.
I would probably say Pete. Because he's the only one you have, really, in the lineup.
With power.
That's it.
With real legitimate power.
With that scares you. Like, real legitimate can change a game power.
That's going to take you yard every time. That's a worry.
Yes.
Yeah, but you ask Lindor to, I mean, now he hasn't done it every time, but you ask him to do so much.
Like, no, I understand that.
You're saying be a gold glove shortstop, you know, hit for power, because you expect some power from him, run the bases. Like, you ask a lot of Lindor on this team.
Well, yeah, but that's why you're paying him $341 million. Like, that was the expectation.
I get it.
So, listen, I mean...
I'm disgusted this morning with the Mets.
Well, yeah, I mean it's a missed opportunity. That was a missed opportunity.
It's a bad loss. And again, listen, are they going to make the playoffs? They're going to make the playoffs, right? Can you agree with that? Whether they win the division or whether they get it as a wild card, they're going to make the playoffs. But I don't want to have to play a first round series. Like I mean, there's a real advantage to being a top two team in the league now. It's not you get an extra home game. You don't have to play that series.
I misspoke, by the way. He hit 202 in June.
Apologies. Lindor?
202, yeah.
That's not good.
Went from 261 to 241. Not great.
Not good.
Not great. Not what you want. But, hey, listen, I mean, you're right. You do ask him to do a lot. And there are things that this team, even with the pitching staff back and fully healthy, there are still things that need to be done. Like, this is like with the Yankees, bullpen is solid. I mean, pitching may wear down. You want to add an outfielder, but like, the bullpen needs real work. Real work.
You need it at least. Now, I mean, do you even trust Lugo at this point?
Well, I just think he has to have a clear role as to what he's doing. Like, I'm going to bring him in. He's going to pitch. He's going to get me multiple outs, and then he'll be unavailable the next day.
The fact that Adam Ottavino is looked at as a real cog in the bullpen is concerning. And I think outside of Diaz, and he's clearly your best closer, your best reliever, the fact that I think Drew Smith is the one you feel the most confident in is a worry.
Well, remember though, too. I mean, at some point you'll get reinforcements without making deals. Just as we get closer to you'll move guys back into the bullpen, which will help once we start talking about postseason stuff. But no, I mean they need real help now. Real help now.
So, I mean, you probably could use another bat. I mean, I don't know. Do you need another starter as well? And then you absolutely need bullpen.
You absolutely need bullpen, and you could use a bat.
So there's a lot. There's a lot there. All right, so Mets on the table. We've discussed it a little bit, gone over it a little bit. Get to the Yankees. Get your calls on the Mets and the Yankees. Over to the NBA. Mystery game Wednesday. I have sent RJ my needs for the game. RJ, you've received that text?
I have.
Okay. And you're putting things in order now?
Yes, I think it will land well.
The game?
I think so. You have a good track record.
I am too smart.
Stop it, Ray.
I also think, Dave, just to get real sportsy with you for a second,
yeah.
get in the weeds sportsy, I wouldn't be opposed to giving Max the extra day. Let's push him back. Let's have him start
to Monday against Atlanta?
Yeah, let's do that.
Oh, I think that's absolutely what I would do.
I think we should do that.
Those games are bigger.
I don't need Trevor Williams starting game one for me.
No offense. I could not agree with you more. And, I mean, Bassett, the only guy in the world now that has to miss like 10 days for getting COVID, right? Everyone else.
Relax.
Is like,
relax, Captain COVID, all right? You don't know what the guy's dealing with.
No, I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying, like, everyone's like, I have the sniffles, now I'm back, and this guy is actually hit with COVID. I had it too.
I have COVID, okay?
I was for weeks.
No, I know. You got hit hard. You don't know how you're going to be affected.
Case hit again.
Hard.
I know. He's off the
Yankees hard
all week. I was texting with him yesterday, because that's what you do as a friend. You check in on other friends.
I think we check in on him more than his actual show checks in on him.
Is that true?
Well, I think we. I mean, I've been every day. Have you been every day too?
No. Yesterday was the first check in. I said I heard you had COVID and wanted to see how you're doing.
He got it.
Very nice about it though.
But you were away though, so you're just getting back.
Yes.
That was the first official day you're back though from your recharge.
Well, I wanted to check in and see how my friend is doing. Absolutely.
You know who's a
Take
stud,
a
too?
Take a walk.
Alcantara's a stud, dude.
Oh, yeah, he's phenomenal.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
You've said some nasty things.
I said nothing mean today.
No, not today. Not yet. No. I mean, it's still early. So you've had, I hope you stub your toe. Guess what happens a week later? Stub my toe, bleeding, right. Gushing blood.
Gushing blood.
You said, I hope you have a slight, it wasn't an aneurysm. It was something nasty, like really, really disturbing.
Yeah,
nasty.
Right. Wasn't great.
Yeah. And then yesterday, gets done telling
you. I hope you have a brain hemorrage when you sleep.
Yeah, brain hemorrhage. Great while you sleep. So you just die in your sleep. And
no,
then yesterday,
I didn't want a death led hemorrhage.
Well, what do you think happens when you have a brain hemorrhage in your sleep?
What do you think the end result is?
Do you always die from a hemorrhage?
I don't think my chances.
I wanted you to have a non life threatening hemorrhage.
Yeah, okay. Do you die when you get pushed off a cliff? I don't know what the odds are, but it can't be good.
What's a non life threatening hemorrhage?
Well, that's what I was looking for.
He's Googling right now.
I am.
Your run of the mill hemorrhage?
I'm looking brain hemorrhage. Stroke not good.
stroke not good.
Yes, this is breaking news.
Artery in the brain. Bursting,
jazz hands.
Yeah. No, none of this is good.
This is not like tearing your ACL.
I would, you know what? I would walk it back if I could.
Yeah, well, you can't. The damage has been done. Rate.
Hang on. What a survival rate of brain hemorrhage?
At 2%.
Not good.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah.
So anyway.
But I want you to be in the 10-15%.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, excellent. Right? Thanks. Perfect.
Yeah, you just lose the ability to use your left hand for anything.
Yeah, my arms.
You know?
Yeah, the side of my face. I'll be typing in my words with a pen on the iPad. Anyway, so Raymond is burying his soul yesterday.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine the show? Like, what do you think about the Yankees? I thought they were excellent.
I'm glad you think that's funny.
Scherzer back. Should have pushed him to seventh inning.
You are a bad guy.
Go ahead.
So anyway, so Raymond, he's going down to celebrate his grandmother's 90th birthday.
90, abuela, yeah.
All this stuff. And now we get to the part where he's got to drive through the treacherous mountains. And there's this hole in the mountain where you could, if you're not paying attention, you could just fall off the mountain.
Right.
And what do you say yesterday?
I said, I hope you get a flat tire on the mountain.
Yeah, on the mountain. Of all places.
You know how bad that would be for me?
Do you understand what would happen if he got a flat tire on the mountain?
Well, I don't want any of the things after that you're thinking about. See, you're very negative. I'm just looking for a flat. I'm just looking for him to have to call AAA. They come out there, jack up the car, put the new tire on.
Yeah, AAA. Way to go. Right up the mountain. Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen.
And away he goes. Yeah, I don't want anything terrible.
I'm going to send you pictures of the road up there so you can see what AAA, quote-unquote, is dealing with.
I want to see this mountain.
We won't hear from you. Stop it. We won't hear from you once when you're on this fancy vacation.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, I know I'm right.
So I'll show you when I'm back then. How about that?
Okay.
I want to see it. It's very nasty what you did to poor Raymond.
I didn't do anything to poor Raymond.
To say nothing of the horrible things that could happen to you if you're not careful out there.
Well, exactly. I didn't want those things to happen.
He'll get trafficked.
It's possible.
How about if Ray got taken?
That's what I'm saying. We'd have to
just taken and put into, like, you know, wakes up in a fog and all these. Where am I? Don't we've got you. Don't worry.
The tennis ball in his mouth. Who's going to save him? I guess I would have to.
Of the three of us that could go in, like
Liam Neeson,
like Liam Neeson or like Cobra. What was that Stallone movie? Right? Was it Cobra?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, with the toothpick. Yeah, Cobra.
Yeah, exactly. I would think that I would probably be the third of three.
I don't even think you would be the never of never.
You'd be the guy.
I would be the number one.
Like you grow out a little facial hair, have some stubble, slick back hair, the white T-shirt. That's your look, and you just go in there, you woo, and you bring him out.
Yeah, and if there was any like any tunnel situation, you can send RJ in.
Yeah, RJ just like you could see, like you hear the music for RJ, like right.
I'm like the guy in the truck with the computer. That's me.
Yes. You know what? It's a good point.
Yeah.
Take exactly Main Street. There's no one on Main Street right now. The lights are all green.
Yeah, why are the lights always green?
Right.
And they so easily switch the security footage where there's just now like a blank screen of nothing happening.
Exactly right.
I got to learn how to do that.
That would be you.
And Dave would be the one that we like dress up in like whatever. Like he's the one that
I'd be
that
the,
causes
distraction.
The distraction.
Woohoo! Over here!
Oh, look, God. It's a beautiful woman.
Yeah, it's a plump woman over there.
Beautiful, plump, bearded woman.
Yes.
Ask me where someone went to college.
Yes. Throw out a player. Mitchell Robinson, I know that. The guy that's standing out like the security for the room that Ray's being.
Do you think my banana is not okay?
Dave comes by. Hello.
Hello. That's why I show a little leg. Forget it. He'd be out in 2 seconds. That's right. I am hot. I'd have him out of there.
No, I don't think you would.
I don't care about your children.
You'd be the next one captured.
I would be captured in a heartbeat.
In a second.
And you would dime us all out real quick. Yes. RJ's in the truck. Rick's behind that building over there.
And RJ's directing traffic in that unmarked van.
Dave would be the one who'd be sold ahead of time. They'd move him to the head of the line.
I would not be a good like POW, though. I'll tell you that right now. They get me. But I would educate them. Andrade Idolo. Idolo. I'd sit around with the people and I'd explain life and impart knowledge.
People?
Now they'd become smarter.
No, you'd be like the guy that they just wheel out. Who's this guy? Well, we caught him like 25 years ago.
And welcome
we kept
aboard.
Him around.
He just comes like, we ask his him. Own ear for lunch.
We ask him sports questions.
Yeah, he's the sports gimp. Bets instead it. Yeah. Georgia, 2022. All right, let's go to Israel, where this kind of thing probably happens all the time. Yov in Israel. Good morning, Yov.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
We're doing, as you can tell, we're a little loopy, but we're good.
You excited about the Nick Kyrgios game today? I'm so excited about this.
About the Kyrgios match?
Yeah, I think he's going to face Rafa at the semifinals, and that's going to be a classic.
Well, here's the thing. I find him to be unlikable. Like he's very difficult to watch.
I think he's so talented, you know.
But that's what makes him
so
difficult. And who's he playing? Who Green today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would imagine he would win that match. And then American Taylor Fritz goes up against Nadal.
Yeah, that's a good match.
That
too.
Is a good match. No, all on ESPN, no, Yov. All on ESPN. These matches.
Oh, that's so fun for you guys. So you can watch it all day and just lost the TV remote and watch Wimbledon all day. So that's so great. So anyway, as the Yankees hit the halfway point of the season, I think to myself, what can we add in this trade deadline like you Mets fans doing? So I think the perfect fit for the Yankees will be Andrew Benintendi. This is the kind of bat the Yankees have been missing in this lineup. He's a contact guy. He's a left-handed hitter. He's just perfect suited for the Yankees. And if I was Brian Cashman, I would do whatever it takes to bring him in.
You don't mean that. You'd like Benintendi. You're not doing whatever it takes to get Andrew Benintendi, though.
Of course I don't.
No.
Don't go out there and go give him a Anthony Volpe, but I don't think it's going to cost us Anthony Volpe. I think I would pay as highest as I can do. I won't give up my top prospect, but like maybe the sixth or seventh prospect, I would definitely do that this day because I feel like he's the missing piece for us.
He'd be
he's
a nice piece.
No, he's what you need. I mean, that's the kind of player we're talking about.
He's a left-handed bat. He hits for average, right? He has some power, or not a ton of power, I don't think. But he's a good player. Plays a good left field.
Yeah, plays a good left field. I mean,
left-handed bat.
Yeah, exactly yeah. Right. More of what you're missing in the lineup. Guy that hits over 300.
But it's funny the missing piece. Are they real? Like the Yankees could do nothing and still be a team that's going to contend for a championship.
Yeah, but they don't want to contend for a championship.
Of course not.
Like I mean, they have to do what it takes to upgrade the team.
At what point? Well, firstly, let me ask you, and we should almost ask RJ and Ray because they're the Yankee fans on the show. But I'll start with you. At what point do you look at Houston and say they're right there with us? Like does the one seed ultimately
already.
Matter that much for the Yankees? I guess
already
is my question.
I looked at them already. Yeah, I mean that's a really really good team.
But I'm talking about for standing purposes, like for standings. Like they're now, what, 4 games in the loss column behind you?
Yeah, they're chasing you down. I mean, you saw what it looked like.
And you're 58, I mean, that was the wake-up call. You're 58 and 23, and they're 4 games in the loss column behind you.
Yeah, but everyone's been so focused on the start. The Yankees have had an unbelievable first half of the season. An unbelievable first half. But, I mean, Houston, when you go up and down, when you go up and down the lineup and look what a, I mean, look what Houston has, and then you match it up with what the Yankees have. I mean, Houston's right there.
I think they're everybody bit as good as the Yankees. I really do.
Okay, so if you know that, I know that, RJ knows that, Santiago knows that, and you got a chance to just, you watched it, you witnessed it. And yeah, I mean, that's, you're going to have to, it feels like that's the team you're going to have to go through. And they're going to make moves. You know, Houston's going to upgrade.
Absolutely. So you are very much aware then, if you're a Yankees fan, of where Houston is right now?
In the grand scheme of things, as far as who's going to have the best record? Yeah, you should be.
And does that, and serious question now, does that ultimately matter that much? Like, you know you're going to get a bye.
No, because you're going to get a bye. Well, yeah, because you want home field in the CS.
So that's it. So it all boils down to, I want to stay ahead of Houston so I can get home field in the championship series.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're not going to be, I mean, you're not going to be, and you asked me this question a couple weeks ago as far as, you know, Judge hitting 62 home runs of the Yankees, you know, setting the regular season wins record. Like, and I'll go back to my initial point that I made. If the Yankees set the wins record and still find a way to lose to Houston in the CS, I mean, Yankees fans aren't going to be happy. It'll make it worse, probably.
They'd go crazy.
Yeah, right now you got 58. Houston's got 53 wins.
Yeah. You have 23 losses. They have 27. And
that's correct.
I think it was Buster Olney that tweeted yesterday that the opposing records of the teams that you're playing the rest of the way, Houston has a way easier schedule than the Yankees
do. That's right.
So,
which, who knows? I mean, who knows? I mean, the Yankees just lost to the Pirates.
Right. No, I get that. You never know. But they're 58-23. They're winning almost a 72% clip of their games, and there's a team that's right there.
Well, I think you're also getting an opportunity to see how important Judge is to this lineup too, because he's in a little bit of a slump.
He makes the whole thing go.
He makes it go. And then the other thing that we keep talking about with the Yankees is their starting pitching wearing down a little bit. I mean, look at Jameson Taillon's last six starts. Well, his ERA's over six.
I mean, these guys pitch every fifth day.
Yeah, but that's great now, but we're not worried about now. We're worried about what this is going to look like at the end of the season and the most important part of the season.
By the way, 313, 25 home runs, 58 RBIs, and 53 runs scored. Jordan Alvarez is a...
I told you that yesterday. He's the guy. He's right there as far as MVP conversation.
I mean, my God.
He's a beast, man.
He really is.
He just hit a walk-off the other day.
He really, really is. So, but again, you're the Yankees, and you feel fine with where you are. You're not concerned. You have an enormous lead in this division, right?
Well, you're 35 games over 500, so we're at the halfway mark. 81 games played. You already got 58 wins, so you're 35 games over 500.
Which is a wild statistic.
You lead the league. You lead all of Major League Baseball in home runs. You lead all of Major League Baseball in ERA. And you get the best. You have the best run differential.
So, it's hard to find any flaws.
So you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, you're in great shape. No, it's hard to find any flaws. Let's hear from Aaron Boone after the game last night. Let's start with the positive. Did you like what you saw from Chapman yet again?
Yes. I mean, that's more in line with what we've been seeing in his work. You know, hopefully that's a big step for him and kind of getting him moving. But I thought it was really good, actually, and hopefully one of the good things to come out of tonight.
Now, it appears, and this is the way that it has to be, that Holmes is going to be the closer, and you'll bring Chapman into probably high leverage, I guess, situations in the seventh or eighth inning. That's how it has to be moving forward here.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case, though.
You think they're going to go back to Chapman as the closer?
Well, there was some talk, though. No, there was initially some talk. Is he better suited in those spots? Like, is that where he'll pitch his best? And then you use Holmes, because you've seen him do it in the high leverage, like the late innings. You know, say it's the eighth inning, you're up a run, and the top of the order's coming up. Is that when you decide to use him?
Well, how about can you mix and match, though? Like, if the top of the order is coming up in the ninth, do I then close with Holmes? Because Holmes is my best reliever now.
Yes. No, listen, I'm all for Clay Holmes being the closer, but I think you also have to understand where, because you're going to need Chapman. Like, where is he at his best? Is he capable of being at his best if he's not the closer? If it's not a safe situation? Because, I mean, at that point, I mean, once he gets back, and yesterday was a good step, I mean, how do we best deploy him? where we're going to get the most out of him.
Right. Well, the nice thing about it is you don't have to worry about the future with him, right? You don't have to worry about, you know, using kid gloves, and we have to make sure not to irritate him or upset him or, you know, overuse him. Like, at the end of the season, he's gone.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about his feelings, no. No, and it's a good opportunity for him, too, to prove to people that he doesn't have to just be, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have to just be a closer.
That he can pitch in a high-leverage situation.
That he can pitch, yeah. Exactly right.
He gets you nervous because guys get on.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the problem with him, is that he loses.
Guys get on, he loses the strike zone, he can't hit the catcher, guys run the bases. Like, one-run game, eighth inning, you're nervous with the guy like Chapman on the mound.
Well, see, that's the difference, too. That's the difference with Clay Holmes, too, is he can control the running game better than Chapman does.
Well, Chapman's bad about it. Now, you had mentioned Tyone. Aaron Boone after the game, why has Tyone struggled over his last couple of starts here for the
year? Just a couple more mistakes in a game, and tonight they hit it in the seats or for extra bases. They got him. Maybe just not quite as sharp with some command things that usually is his calling card. But, you know, that's also the ebb and flow of the season, too, where, you know, that's going to happen.
Are you concerned at all with the workload of Jameson Taillon?
J-Mo? No. I think J-Mo's fine. Yeah. And in fact, I feel like he's in a good spot to, you know, be one of the guys we can really lean on. Not that perfect execution that, you know, we've seen a lot from him this year. And they, you know, tip your cap, they beat him with some slug tonight.
Some slug.
J-Mo? Oh, J-Mo.
J-Mo action? So starts.
Who did he think they were talking about? Like, oh, J-Mo? Like, it felt like he just wanted to get the name J-Mo thrown in there a couple times, right?
Well, I just think he was caught off guard. Like, I just don't think he appreciated the question. Like, why are you questioning this guy?
Because, these guys are going to wind up throwing, you know why, a lot of innings.
I understand why. But as far as he's concerned, he's going to be one of the guys that they lean on.
I get it. But, you know, you're going to have guys throwing 200 innings this year. And you're going to expect him to throw another God knows how many innings in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at his last three. Just taking his last three. Houston, they win. But he goes 5 2/3, gives up 6. Oakland, they win. He only goes 5, gives up 3. And then they lost last night. He went 5 1/3 and gave up 5. Yeah, but that's the real concern. I mean, seriously, that has to be because Nestor's never done it before.
He's at 89 1/3 innings, and we are literally exactly at the halfway mark. So you're looking at 180 regular season innings for him right now. Plus, now you're going to turn to him and say, all right, go give me another 5 starts in the postseason?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's going to be one of your guys in the postseason.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, you're counting on this guy a lot. I wonder at what point if the Yankees start to skip some guys and, you know, maybe bring up Sears a little bit, and there's an extra day. We a day off, maybe you don't get your start and you skip a start. Like, I wonder when that happens for the Yankees.
Oh, I think it's definitely something that they should consider. I mean, you're in this for the long haul. Like, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to them adding an arm at the deadline.
Starter?
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to it.
No.
Well, you're going to get Herman back, too.
That'll be a help.
At some point, yep. Loaisiga will be back.
That'll be a huge help. He's when Loaisiga is right, he's as good as... I mean, the Yankees bullpen is just... It's dynamic.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It's so dynamic. Really is. The kid from Jersey went on the injured list, though.
Marinaccio. Oh, yeah.
Him and the whole band.
But, yeah, I mean, you said it yesterday, and I know I had already seen the stat, and I kind of stole your thunder, but, I mean, that's pretty impressive that their rotation has been able to start as many
70,
games.
So I guess now it's 77 of 81 starts that's by impressive. Those five guys.
Especially with the shortened spring and everything else they've stayed
this remarkable.
Healthy.
Well, look at what the Mets have had to do.
Oh, don't even bring that. I mean,
right? I mean, McGill's been hurt. DeGrom's been hurt. Scherzer's been hurt. I mean, if Bassett I asked you now, to name all the Mets starters this year, you couldn't.
Yeah, now Bassett's missing time.
Bassett's now got COVID. He's out. They asked him about, you know, is Thursday possible? He's like, that's a real long shot right now.
Yeah, he gets.
But what the Mets have had happen, that's the norm. What the Yankees have had is the outlier.
Well, yeah, but see, here's the thing, though. I always look at it as I would rather have it happen now.
Of course.
Than happen later.
If I tell you that Scherzer, DeGrom, McGill, all these guys are healthy for the postseason, that's exactly what you want.
It's exactly what you want.
Because then you're a major problem.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.